and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and here we are again. We are leveling up. Every time we tune in, we're getting better habits and just mindset shifts and moving into that next best version of ourselves. So welcome. I'm so excited that you're here. I'm excited our guest is here. I'm always just really bouncing off the walls excited. Plus I did have some caffeine this morning. So, you know, that helps. So welcome. I don't have a lot of news up top. I'm just rolling along. If you haven't subscribed to the newsletter, it's nice because it keeps you in the loop of who's coming every week. And so I try to get those out, you know, in real time every week with the episode. So subscribe to that if you want to. I would love to have you. And I guess that's good. Let's get moving forward. Today, we are so excited to welcome Anahata Ananda. I love your name. It just rolls off the tongue. It's so beautiful. You are a shamangelic healer. And just the word shamangelic, you coined that, didn't you?
It is trademarked, yes.
Yeah, trademarked. Oh, even better. Shamangelic healer, a breathwork master and trainer, and the owner of Shine Sedona, a sanctuary for the soul. You blend kindness and compassion, the kindness and compassion of an angel with the wisdom and skill of a shaman to provide transformational journeys that awaken and amplify the light within others. I personally have had the transformational experience of your breath work. And I thank you so much for that. It was major in my life. And so I am so excited to welcome you today. Thank you.
It's fun to be back in Austin and just connecting with all the beautiful soul tribe here and leading breathwork ceremonies and,
yeah,
and holding space for people's healing and transformation. It's my passion. It's something I just absolutely love. It's a privilege.
How did it become your passion?
I think it was catalyzed by my own dark night of the soul, where all of, you know, the different parts of life were completely melting down.
Oh, yeah.
And traditional therapies were just falling short for me.
That'll do it.
Maybe it's because I'm impatient or just like, okay, can we get to the real core issues here?
Oh my God, I love that.
The traditional, or at least what I was experienced in traditional counseling and so forth, we were just talking about the tip of the iceberg. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, there is so much more here. And so I kind of leaned into shamanic healing and deep shadow work and emotional release and so much rage and grief and pain and frustration that had been bottled in, not knowing how to process and not having a safe space and not knowing how, frankly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, how to deal with the issues that had just been stacking up. And, you know, my, what I would call a marital liberation.
I love that.
AKA divorce. with twins that were 3 years old, like life was melting down. And
how old were you?
I guess it was 33 when that was happening. I was 33 when that was happening.
A good age for it.
You know,
right? I mean, that's when I had a divorce at 33.
Yeah.
And, you know, just had a 1 year old. But yeah, I get it.
And like, I knew that I didn't want to pass on like the unconscious parenting down to my kids. I didn't want anger and rage or alcohol or anything like that to be passed on to my kids. So I'm like, I need to get at this stuff quickly, efficiently, because I've got kids to parent. And so
yes.
I was highly motivated to get my shit together and clean house so that I could really continue being present as a mom. And my love for them catalyzed, okay, I need a more efficient, more effective process.
I felt that so many times as a mom. I'm like, you know, everything shifted into like, I really don't have time to be depressed for that long. Like, I've really got to handle this and figure it out because I've got these people that I have to take care of. And that was a big part of my impatience, but also just my catalyst to change.
Motivation.
And what I talk about in this show, I'm like, we're all busy. Even if you don't have kids, like you've got some things to accomplish in this life. So how can we move forward? And I love that you called yourself impatient because I am too. And that's in this show, I'm like, let's get to the real meat of how we can change and transform and not dance around this tip of the iceberg. Like what can we do?
I really love going into the deep waters.
Yeah.
And I'm really passionate. I'm not scared about what's there. And so when I was going through my own process and just excavating so much density and getting in touch with my full range of human emotions from really deep grief that came from many different experiences, stacked one on top of each other, unprocessed, and deep anger that and resentment when not processed turns to rage. Mm-hmm. And so I was drinking more during that time because that's a direct correlation to oppressed rage and oppressed grief, is that there's going to be emotional eating when there's oppressed and different things that when there. You're oppressing the more watery emotions, yeah. Which is different than when you're oppressing the more fiery emotions like anger. Mm. And then there's more alcohol to kind of temper the fire. And so I'm like, I cannot. This has got to change and it's got to stop immediately. And the efficiency with which the excavation of my traumas and feelings and pain and wounding, it was so efficient. I fell in love with it as a modality.
I feel like back then it just wasn't.
It wasn't.
How did you even find it in the first place? Where were you living?
I was in Southern California. Okay. And a friend of mine referred me to somebody in LA that was a shamanic healer. And I was like, well, what else? I'll give it a go.
Yeah, sure. What the hell?
I had not woken up. I was very much in my like kind of mainstream life. And I was like, I'm going. And it was just so cathartic. And I could feel the energy was shifting. I could feel things moving at a rapid pace, which I like. I like that rapid pace. Like that lights me up. I'm like, we're going somewhere. So I really dove into it. All things personal development, all about empowering language and neuro-linguistic programming and yoga, meditation, chakras, cleansing, fasting, you know, mantras and breathing exercise. I like dove into learning to work with spiritual guidance. And I was just so hungry for real implementable solutions that would make me better, me more whole, and then me better as a mother. And then I was like, this is actually a calling. It was months of me doing this work where I'm like, this is actually a passion. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for that marital liberation, which I have deep gratitude for.
I love this phrase. Yes.
In hindsight, it sent me on a trajectory of my, you know, my Dharma work, my soul purpose work, which is transformational healing.
What's y'all's relationship like now?
Cordial, but my kids are 26. There's no, we're not co-parenting anymore. It's been years. There's nothing.
I'm sure it helped that co-parenting though.
I used every tool. I learned a lot of different communication tools that I didn't have in my marriage. Mm-hmm. Honestly, there's plenty of things that were on my side of the fence for sure that created our challenges and respect for both of us for doing our best to really focus on what's the best for the kids. And it really sent me on a trajectory to really help other people through their big life changes, whether they're on this path where they're stepping into their mission and purpose, because I love to be wind beneath people's wings that are really stepping up as a light worker, as a leader, as you know, change makers to build a better humanity. I love to support families and family units and couples and parents that are shaping the next generation. I love to support people that are trapped in addiction, that are trapped in depression or trapped in dis-ease, that are being invited through pain and discomfort in a wake-up call to make some changes, to reclaim their power, to find their voice, to find their truth, and learn different tools that they previously didn't have. Because that was one of my problems, is that I didn't have better tools.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to do this. And most of us don't, because we weren't raised. We were modeled with something completely different, perhaps unconscious, perhaps, you know, things that are more toxic in nature. And we're doing the best, you know, doing the best. And I was like, okay, I need to rapidly upgrade because I want to pass on something different to my kids and co-parent better and also help other people. It's like my passion to really help other people through life changes. And I've been doing it for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And I love that privilege and the gift and the beauty that I get to experience when I hold space for someone's most intimate trauma, pain, dreams, passion, purpose, aliveness,
yes,
struggles, and to be able to just meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. And that's why this term shamangelic is with the courageous boldness to go into the shadow. Yeah, let's look at the thing, the trauma, the pain. Let's take a look at that.
I like that you are phrasing this too as, hey, you just didn't know this tool existed yet, because presenting it that way seems to take some of the fear out of it. Yeah. Like if you're dealing with somebody who does, you said, you know, I wasn't afraid to look at that stuff. A lot of people are, I think, but maybe they're at the same time ready. And so overcoming that fear can be challenging, but when you phrase it as like, hey, you just don't have this tool yet.
And I think that that's the angelic part, is compassion and presence and tenderness, mm-hmm. whether it's around somebody's eating disorder or where around their cancer or their physical emotional abuse that is directed inward or mm-hmm. outward. There's going to be a lot of forgiveness. There's going to be a lot of accountability. There's going to be a lot of embarrassment. There's going to be a lot of courage that are part of the steps. And sometimes, you know, when we're not ready, like you said, even if we know we should stop blanking, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is,
yeah.
complaining, blaming, drinking, sedating, sexting, whatever, like no judgment. Yeah. Even if we know, hey, maybe this isn't the most excellent thing mm-hmm. and it's not getting the most ideal results, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't mean we're ready to make the change.
Oh my gosh. I experienced that literally yesterday.
Like over and over. And
I was eating something and I was like, I know, I just got this book about cravings. And I was like, I know I could take this amino acid and probably break this craving, but I don't know. I don't know that I want to right now.
And that's, we have will. We do have choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I respect the incubation process of cultivating the readiness.
Well said.
Like, I respect that process. Yeah. Like, you know, my
There's
sister,
nothing wrong with that. It's part of the process.
I just time. Call it pushing the pause button or the snooze button.
Maybe, but there but is also, a price. Isn't there like, rather than snoozing through it, you're kind of like just like going through the process of getting to that point rather than jumping. You're like, maybe this is part of my process.
It's a very slippery slope because we're really sly at making excuses. We're really sly. And,
totally.
And, you know, we'll do anything to keep anyone from taking our teddy bear away. And sometimes it is the massive wake-up call that does that, because we're not ever going to let go of the thing until there is the D's, you know, a diagnosis, an overdose, like depression, where it's like, whoa, shit, I need to make a change. And until somebody's in that place where they're motivated to make a change, then they're really not making it for themselves and it won't necessarily be sustainable. That's why rehab, when it's somebody else's idea, doesn't always stick.
Oh yeah, big time, right?
So this is this opportunity is what I've watched is just to respect that somebody's just pushing the pause button for a moment, which might be, yeah, I'm going to sedate for 2 decades until I'm ready mm-hmm. and I have the right environment and I have the right catalyst and I have the right support system that I'm going to attract to myself so that I can be ready to make those changes. And before that, not ready, not the right time. Even though if somebody else might look on the outside and say, hey, time to put down the alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, a close family member say that to me, like, hey, I think this is getting a little bit.
To you?
Yeah, out mm-hmm. of hand. I was like, hey, F off, because you taught me how to drink. So the denial was so deeply entrenched in me. I was like, I can't see it. I can't hear it. Not from you. Not now, not yet. And then years later, when I was ready and I saw it and I felt it, I was like, I get it now. And I'm ready to just really walk away from this substance. And that was 23 years ago.
Have you had a drink
since? No, it's been 23 years. But I was ready And it was my truth. And so then my will kicked in and just said, no, I'm out.
Wow.
And it was, you know, and everybody has a different orientation to their addictions or their teddy bears. And so some are easier to walk away from, and some do take 12 steps. Some do take a different, you know, a level of support to break a physical or chemical or emotional, you know, relationship.
It's so funny that you brought up teddy bear. Last night I had this dream. So I had that little moment yesterday where I was like, ooh, I'm not, and mine is pretty benign. It was like eating, you know, some popcorn and stuff. And so, I mean, like, yeah.
On the scale of things,
it was pretty low, but I recognize that I still have some comfort eating tendencies, right? And so that I could break. And I was like, but last night then I had this very active dream where I was packing all this stuff up and I didn't know if I was going to make it to my plane, and I'm packing and packing, getting all this stuff. But there's a teddy bear. There's a teddy bear that I've had for so long, since I was like 15. And I was worried about packing that teddy bear, and it was like Gigi's, but it was mine, and Gigi's my 14-year-old. And it's just funny that you said that it's your teddy bear. And I was like, oh, you know, like, anyway.
And this is, you know, in the coaching, counseling, healing, you know, arena, it isn't our job to hammer somebody's hands open that is attached to a teddy bear.
Right.
You know, it's to understand, why is the grip there in the first place? What is the core pain? Where is their void? Where is that the security blanket that is protecting a deeper wound? Whether that's blame, whether that's alcohol, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. The patterns, those patterns are indicative of something deeper. It's not this tip of the iceberg that is like, hey, just quit that substance or quit that relationship or move on to your, you know, soul career. Just let go of that other thing that's not aligned and that you hate anyway. And we get to really respect the process. And this is the part that is more angelic, that is this alchemy of, where do we need courage and to be the truth teller and be like, hey, let's go, snap out of it. This isn't actually yours. And other times where it, to be held in the pain that never got held, to hold space for the emotion that never got expressed, to bring gentleness and tenderness or honesty or perspective to a situation that hasn't been seen or felt that way before.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes where the shift starts happening. And it's different for everybody. And I love that experience of meeting a new expression of the human experience. And it's a puzzle. Mm-hmm. And we get to see, oh, this little thing that happened at 4, and this thing that kept repeating, and then this experience that happened here, and then this belief that began, that started this path. And it's a puzzle that is such a gift and a privilege to be in somebody's space to say, oh, we can unravel this, and we can shift the perspective here, and this might take a little longer, and to be gentle and also honest and courageous in that process. It's the sweetest, most beautiful thing I've ever experienced.
Oh, that's incredible. Yes, it really, truly is. When you say angelic, what does that mean to you?
I think it's more the divine feminine, which is unconditional loving and present and nurturing and patient, tender. And there's a safety and a sweetness that just allows all of the guarding to melt away and the safety to be held in that. And I've had, you know, 275-pound, you know, professional athletes weeping in my arms. And, you know, that safety, that the guarding softens, that allows that tenderness that so much of our, so many of us are looking for, that there wasn't that in the past or from a different experience or a different trauma, that guarding is like, oh, it's not okay for me to ask for this. Or when I did ask for it, it wasn't safe. It wasn't given. In fact, it was judged. So then there's this negative reinforcement that I can't ask for it and it's not available or it's not okay. And so there's so much reinforcement with that. And so it can be just very healing just to hold space for someone's process without rushing it, without judging it, and understanding and allowing without trying to coach it, to just give it mm-hmm. some space to be felt and expressed. And from there, then the path starts showing itself of what the next step is.
That's very divine within us, rather than there's an angel standing behind you kind of a thing. You know, like, have you had experiences like that?
I've had lots of experiences in doing my training with many different shamanic healers and different practitioners of many different modalities. I also would train directly with ascended masters and angels, and Mother Mary was one of those where when I got to a certain place, I was like, hey, I'm having trouble accessing this level of nurturing because I haven't experienced it. Not to this level of depth.
Yeah.
You know, I've experienced, you know, grandmother's hugs and, you know, a mom's presence, but that level, that's otherworldly, or I haven't experienced the depth of which I know that is possible. So how can I share that if I don't have reference to it? So a lot of times for divine masculine energy or divine feminine energy, I'll go direct to source and say, okay, Mother Mary, show me what it feels like. How can I embody this level of grace and compassion and to allow her to enter my body and show me? And the first thing that happens is this posture of just, you know, my head goes to the side, my arms go up, and it's this sweet little rocking motion of just holding an infant that is, you know, crying or uncomfortable, and to just be that graceful presence. And it was so calming and so beautiful. And I'm like, thank you for showing me how this feels. So now I can convey that to a woman that has been through a sexual trauma, man that is a professional athlete whose performance anxiety has not allowed him to be anything other than perfect. And like to hold in that place of so much stress and pressure from everybody and so many different walks of life, from ex-cons to truck drivers to supermodels, and like a whole the range of humanity. And yet our pains are actually very similar. It's just that we're all just want to feel safe. I want to be seen. I want to be loved. And it ultimately, it's what is that look like in your configuration? So how can I shape shift to provide that level of support or acknowledgement or encouragement that is needed for that particular individual? And it's different for everybody.
Well, yeah, that's a very individualized approach rather than, you know, when you're leading a larger breathwork ceremony, which is what I participated in with you, but I still felt like I got individualized attention. It was very challenging for me.
Yeah. This is one of the things about the shamangelic breathwork that I lead that is really important, is that everybody gets one-on-one attention.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, it's not just, hey, here's a soundtrack, here's the breathing technique, and here's a rattle, and and just go for it.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that doesn't create catalysts. And if there's a safe container that doesn't provide, you know, emotional release and so forth. But I think the real magic for me is when I get the privilege to move into somebody's space energetically, respectfully, and with integrity, to go in to feel where the energy is needing to move. And if it's needing to soften or strengthen, if it's needing to release or shake something off or express, is to provide support and guidance to be that little ignition or the support for it to go where it needs to go.
Yeah.
And the skill with which that takes, and the range to be able to go from Mother Mary to like shamanic fire. Not everybody has that kind of range and the ability to read intuitively what somebody needs, because if they really need tenderness and you're going fire, you'll have the opposite effect of what is supportive in that moment. And if they need fire and you're like, it's okay, babe, it keeps them enabled in this victim place that isn't like standing your truth now.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But if you don't read the right, if you don't read it right, you'll zig when they need you to zag, and the healing and the transformation will be less impactful or actually make it worse. Mm-hmm. And I think that that takes skill and practice.
If somebody says to you, I've never done breath work and I want to come, what should I expect? What do you say to them?
Well, and I think the term breath work encompasses so many different types of modalities, because there's yogic breath work, pranayama, which is
good point
for balancing the feminine and masculine, for helping you to have a deeper meditation, for calming the nervous system or clearing the mind. These are all, that's all breath work. And so I would clarify it as, if you're going to more of an emotional release kind of breath work, which is a different variation, and it's a subset of breath work, and there's so many different modalities and techniques, even within kind of emotional release, shamanic journey type breath work, there's so many different practitioners, skilled and not, that are leading it in different ways. So there isn't one expression of breath work that it's like, oh, this is what you can expect.
Yeah.
From more emotional release, shamanic journey type breath work, within that you're going to have a range of facilitation that stays at the front of the room, and some that are going to be very much involved one-on-one. So that's going to vary from ceremony to ceremony.
This podcast is sponsored by Wands. Wands creates luxurious pleasure practice tools that help people become more connected to their bodies. They have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, the most gorgeous crystal pleasure wands you've ever seen, free bleed blankets, and my favorites, the trademarked glass cervix wand and the Venus wand, which is their heaviest wand made of stainless steel, and their new ecstatic vibrator. This company is woman-owned and creates products designed to help you become more connected to your body and your pleasure and support the healing of pelvic pain. Get yours today in their always discreet packaging at wands.com. That's wands with two A's, WAANDS.com. And use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or enter the code Amy Edwards at checkout. Again, that's wands, WAANDS.com. The Amy Edwards Show is sponsored in part by Higher Dose. Higher Dose creates wellness tech for everyone with tools, supplements, and body care. And I have 15% off for you with my code MAGIC15. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, and more. I have their infrared pulsed electromagnetic field, or PEMF, mat, which emits electromagnetic waves that mimic natural frequencies found in nature, stimulating and encouraging your body's natural recovery process. It also has 20 pounds of crystals in it and has shown to ease chronic pain, aid in exercise recovery and circulation, deepen your meditations, reduce stress, and improve total body relaxation. I also love their red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft and easy to use in store and even travel with. I'm a true fan of these items and more, like their glow serum. So I'm excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there. Or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 for 15% off. HigherDose.com. This podcast is sponsored by The Collective ATX. If you're looking for the best in hair extensions, it's The Collective ATX. They do mine, and I won't go anywhere else. I've tried them all over the years, and finally, I've found what makes my real hair stronger and fuller, and even works with my natural curl. They keep all their extensions in-house, so there's no wait, and they specialize in no damage to your natural hair like traditional hair extension methods. Plus, they're pros at color and covering gray. I have literally never in my life been happier with my color. They were named a top 200 salon by Salon Today in 2023. They've changed my hair journey. Let them change yours. The Collective ATX, link is in the show notes.
But I think if people are accumulating energy, whether that's stress, whether that's anxiety, whether that is pain, anger, grief, whether if you're accumulate or like excitement about birthing something and it's stagnating somewhere, mm-hmm. I think this is a great process to help move, shift, open, release, clarify your energy field so that you can move the things in your body that are not even yours. So much we hold from a cell at a cellular level and an energetic level that belongs to our parents, our ancestors, lovers, friends, collective society. And a lot of that energy is blocking our own vitality and our own passion and our own beliefs and our own potency because we're holding energy that isn't ours. So I think, you know, these kinds of breathing experiences, more cathartic in nature, can help you shake off what isn't yours, which is usually a lot.
Yeah.
And it can also help you process those things that are yours that have been oppressed and those traumas. It can help you address those traumas. If you have a skilled person, because if you're going into a really deep trauma, like a sexual trauma, a physical abuse trauma, abandonment, all kinds of, there's collectively we hold all kinds of different traumas. And if you have a skilled practitioner that's able to go in and hold space and safety for that deeper thing without making it worse, that can accelerate and potentiate healing that probably has not been addressed for potentially decades.
Oh, I have a friend who uncovered a repressed memory during that particular breathwork that I was a part of, which blew my mind.
So it's quite efficient. This is one of the reasons why I like it.
I love efficiency. Because, that's my language.
Wow, we can get at the core thing. Yeah. A skilled practitioner can get at the core root cause and can help move it, bring it forward in a safe way and support with the integration. Because sometimes when you bring something to the surface, it's like, whoa, that's a lot to process.
What do I do with this?
Yeah. So a skilled practitioner will also help with the integration so that way when things rise, it continues to release and you bring in new energies in its place. And that's why I think shamangelic is so important, is because a lot of my shamanic experiences early on were just shamanic. It was cathartic and releasing. But then I felt like I was hit by a train.
Big time. I didn't expect that when I did it with you the first time. Yeah. I didn't know. And they were like, we would like for you to do a testimonial afterward. And beforehand, I was like, great. I can't wait. You know, I'm like, I'm doing that. And then did the breath work. And I felt like I was in tears. I remember Wyatt coming up and doing the testimonial. And I was like, I don't think you want to do this with me right now. And I was like, I'll do it, but I didn't do it right. All this shit came out because one of my issues is like, I'm never doing it right. And so that was like tied in with my breathwork. So anyway.
And sometimes it's that, that dump is what's needed. And I think what is also needed
was very much so. Sure. Like I almost take out the trash. I almost left Sedona that night. That's how hard it was for me. Yeah. And Caitlin and I ended up not, and having a beautiful soul wander the next day out in nature, which that was the integration I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry, I'm interrupting.
And this is, you know, that process of being supported when you release like that. And
also, and
I think the angelic part is, what are you putting in its place? Ugh. If you released this trauma, then who are you?
They're so often overlooked. Like the integration and what are you putting in, man?
Yeah. And that's where I think it's really important to have an aspect of the emotional release. And then the second half of the ceremony is like, what are you putting in its place? Who are you now? See that truth, breathe it into your body. What are you learning? Here's you flying. Where are you expanding from this, leaving it in the fire, leaving the ashes and the pain and the unworthy and those beliefs, leaving it in the fire and guiding people through this journey of who are you now on the other side of this after this release? And I think it's really valuable to integrate those two and incorporate those two and not just release only. And sometimes release might be laughter. It might be celebration. You may be, you know, clearing out density that allows you to see more clearly who you are and receive soul guidance or a mission or an inspiration, a vision about what's possible in the future. And you know, I've guided over 10,000 people through this process.
Wow. And you created your own brand of...
Yeah, modality. Yeah.
Modality, yes.
And it's very tailored to what individuals are going through. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the sweetness, because one person might need to laugh and connect to their inner child. And 3 feet away, another person may need to get out some deep rage that's been oppressed for decades.
Yes.
And then 3 feet over, another person might need to be curled up in a ball, weeping like a child, because there's so much grief and loss that hasn't been fully processed. And to be able to weave and facilitate each of those people very differently and move between those without taking any residue from each, yeah, any person to the next person.
Yeah. And as a participant, or whatever, yeah, I would be called, that I didn't know that. And I think you just saying that to people maybe that might be considering this is important, because I thought they're over there laughing and they're over there just sounding like they're having an orgasm, and this, maybe they are, and this person's screaming. And I was like, clearly I'm not doing this right, because I was like, I'm not doing any of those things. So, but that was what needed to process for me. But in that instance, it was just, I didn't have the understanding that that's what was going on, you know?
And everybody is meeting this experience different.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first time I experienced breathwork, rage.
Really?
Like, oh, you not had a lot. Like a little bit, a lot. I mean, not like, but I mean, like
that guttural scream.
Dragon, yeah. Lady Biatch unleashed a fury of fire. And I was hoarse for days. And that was my first experience.
Yeah.
And other times I've been curled up in a ball crying. Other times I've been laughing hysterically. Other times birthing something. Other times very physical. And so I think that a good facilitator at the beginning will say, it can look like a lot of different things, and this is your inner journey.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to experience what it is that is rising for you right now, not, oh, I didn't see Archangel Michael and I didn't have this cathartic release and I didn't, you know, cry or whatever, and leaving comparisonitis at the door, mm-hmm, leaving expectations at the door, so that the shaman that is the breath can go into those places that are needed in this moment for you, and to not get in the way of that and allow the rise to happen, and to just be like, okay, this is happening, and just allow a collaboration and a co-creation to happen without imposing or self-judgment, and just leave all that at the door, and each journey, let whatever is to happen, not expecting, oh, it's going to be, I want what I had last time.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, that's cute.
You said the shaman that is the breath.
Yes, because the breath, if you give it permission,
mm-hmm,
and you just allow the breath and you give it permission to say, yes, I know how intelligent you are. Without minutes without breath, I die. And you are breathing without any effort, any thought, any direction. And so the breath that is the shaman knows exactly where the contraction is, know exactly what petal of the lotus in your personal development journey that is next to unfold. And we might say, no, I want this other thing. And I definitely don't want to go into that doorway. I don't want to go into that dungeon. Mm. And that may be where you need to go. And so I just let go of control and attachment and say, okay, permission to go where I need you to go, not where I want or where I think or where other people are going. And to just stay in your lane and keep breathing and have this delicious, rare experience of an internal journey,
mm-hmm,
and an internal exploration.
There's so many massive, massive lessons, even just in what you just said, letting go of control, detaching from outcome. I mean, like all these things, you know, letting go of comparison. I mean, there's like 18 other lessons that you're just getting right there.
Yeah.
At least I am.
Exactly. Because that may be the core issue, is comparisonitis, or I shut down when somebody else is screaming, I don't feel safe. And that's like, oh, that's because that's related to why?
Yeah.
Why do I not feel safe when someone's screaming? And it's like, okay, that goes back to somebody screaming or yelling when I was a child.
Yeah.
Or that reminds me of this. And if you're in a safe environment and you have a practitioner that's, it's like, it's okay. You're safe here. You can go into those places and unravel those things where you can reclaim your power again and be able to stay in your center when somebody's having an emotional expression instead of in, as in many adult relationships, if someone's getting irritated or angry, I just shut down or I run or I hide or I blame or I distract or I ignore. Instead of moving out of those old patterns into, okay, I'm going to be okay even though this person is having an emotional experience.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the grown-up thing and stay so that we can resolve this conflict. And I'm not just going to go hide, because that was the survival mechanism, which is very intelligent as a child, to just hide, which is probably what preserved us in times when an adult's getting angry. He's like, hide. Great survival technique, not a, an adult conscious coping strategy.
And not where we're going to stand in our own power.
No, right? And then like, our voice and our energy and our opinion is not being experienced or expressed in adult conversations, which is needed when you're co-parenting. It's needed when it's business, instead of when there's energy or conflict, I avoid.
Absolutely.
And so there's a direct correlation, or when there's a conflict or resistance, I get angry, and then that can trigger somebody into their old pattern. And so whatever you're experiencing in breath work, whether it's somebody screaming or laughing or crying, it can all provide a catalyst for you to go deeper and be in your internal exploration, which is where you get to discover who you are, where there's still a wall, where there's an oppressed emotion, where the body's holding energy that isn't yours. And I just think that that's true freedom and liberation, is when you can go explore in those places and be guided through, okay, how do you get out of this? How do you break this pattern? What's the next tool so that you can create a different reality going forward?
It was revelatory for me in that regard, because I didn't expect that. I was like, oh, I have a fucking hang up about doing things right. You know, and being told how and following the directions. Can we speak for a second? You mentioned NLP, but can we speak for a second to the brain chemistry and science behind breath work? Yeah. I would love to, because I've heard and studied some about, you know, the maybe DMT release or what happens to our brain chemistry.
So super simple for like just everyday people listening. One of the things when you're hyper oxygenating the brain, in other words, when you're taking in deep breaths quickly, and there's lots of different techniques and patterns, and a double inhale and into the belly and into the chest and then out. There's lots of different techniques, but let's just say, when you're hyper-oxygenating the brain with big, deep breaths taken in quickly, you start to access the subconscious brain. And this is one of the things that Stanislav Grof found with his patients that had traumas, that when they did deep breathing exercises, they were able to access those memories. And then he could work with them in that state to help release what was trapped during those traumas.
Why does it do that? Is it just the oxygen going there?
And oxygen and blood flow. And and there are all kinds of then chemical reactions as well. Wow. But what that does, but it's not just what's happening in the brain. It's also what is happening in our cellular tissue, because we have memory that is held in our cells. And we actually have brain cells in our heart. And so what is happening is, when you start hyperoxygenating your body as well, the organs and the cells and the tissues, you might also be releasing some cellular memory from a physical part of the body that had an injury or a trauma, and not just the physical memory of it. So this is a somatic release, because we're oxygenating the blood, which is going into places where there has been dense contracted energy.
Yeah.
And there can be wow, I haven't breathed into this scar tissue. I haven't breathed into this part of my body. I contracted that so I couldn't feel. Yeah. My body created scar tissue, created a contraction to protect itself. And so when you start breathing, you're also moving oxygen into your cells.
Yeah.
And into those places that when you're normally breathing, they don't go. So it's going to the bottom of your lungs. It's going into your liver. It's going into all of your organs and in your blood. So there can be somatic physical releases happening. And emotional, when we start breathing into our emotions,
yeah,
and things start rising, sometimes grief comes, which is more watery in nature, our tears. Sometimes what rises is, wow, I'm breathing this and I'm starting to feel anger. And so sometimes we'll have feelings of anger rise. So it's emotional, it's energetic, it's physical, it's toxic, it's mental. Mm-hmm. So it's not just what's happening in the brain. So if we take, if we allow the breath to do what it needs to do and we don't get in the way, sometimes it'll be physical and you just need to shake off some things. Sometimes it will bring up the cellular memory of a trauma or an experience or a person where there's pain or an emotion or a feeling associated with that. And we just give permission for that to express however it does. And
what are brain cells in the heart?
So the brain cells, I know, it's very interesting.
Like, what does that even mean?
That in the heart.
Little pieces of my brain are in my heart.
Like, there are brain cells.
Are they just connected? Or, like, what is it?
And this is what's kind of interesting in the Joe Dispenza work is that when the heart feels love for the first time, mm-hmm. it's sending messages to the brain, hey, this person's very important. Let's create a neural pathway that associates positivity with this person because I'm in love. And it literally tells the brain, this is important because my heart really feels fabulous around this person. Mm-hmm. So it's telling the brain, build neural pathways, in other words, positive freeways of beliefs that we love this person. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens when the heart is feeling heartache. I was betrayed. They hurt me. They left me. And the heartache also feels and it sends signals to the brain, ouch, there is a trauma associated with this, which mm-hmm. has a totally different brain chemistry. If I feel like I'm not enough and I'm not loved, that belief starting in the heart with a feeling, they hurt me, they left me, they judged me, they criticized me, they bullied me, they hurt. That the heart feels it and that tells the brain to make a neural pathway. I'm not enough. Nobody loves me. They left me. I'm not good enough. And that has a totally different brain chemistry, that belief that starts sending that to the rest of the body.
Wow.
That yeah. actually starts us, our immune system, our posture begins to change. Our organs function differently when we have this belief stemming from a real feeling. I'm not enough. I'm not loved. I'm not good enough, which is very different than when we have this, oh my God, I'm loved. They love me. I love them. Things are great. I feel alive.
Like heart opening.
Heart opening. Yeah. And the amount of positive chemicals that the brain makes, endorphins and all of these different chemicals in the body that makes our immune system improve, it makes our posture improve, mm-hmm. it makes our circulation improve, mm-hmm. and our blood flow improve. So these are physical correlations to emotional and mental experiences. So
yeah,
these are all correlated, which I find fascinating because if we are looking at providing healing and transformation, I'm also going to ask, what's physically going on in the body?
Mm-hmm. Big time. I mean, like, it's all connected.
It's
We're
for
kidding
sure
ourselves
all
to
connected.
Think that it's not, you know? And I mean, I read Body Keeps the Score, so
yes.
fascinating
right.
about all these connections and the ways that we manifest things. And do you have some daily protocols around maybe affirmations or things that you recommend to people or that you practice? What do those look like for you?
I think that I think the best thing that someone can do is just have a practice of checking in with themselves, because nobody else can really do that.
Ah, you know, nice to outsource
how
that.
How am I feeling? Like, how am I feel? Is my body saying anything? Like a pain? Did I wake up stiff? Am I wake up with low energy? How am I feeling? And to ask, is there, what do I need today? Do I need oxygen? Do I need to move the body? Do I need a nap? Do I need green juice? Like, what do I need? And we're so habituated, especially as moms, to what does everybody else need? To wake and ask, what does my business need? What do my children need? What does my partner need? What does the community need? What does my parents need?
Like,
what everybody else? And we're so good at being the, and being that giver of the things and the caregiver. And the habitually what happens is, oh, nobody's asking me what I need. And I'm the only one that can actually ask that and truly listen to all of the answers, the physical body answers. How is my heart feeling today? How's my mind feeling? How's my inner child today? I'm like, wow, they haven't played in weeks. Time to get out and play. And so I think that that periodic self-check-in is really valuable so that we can course correct getting off true north quicker.
Yeah.
And we just get in a practice of listening. How are my emotions? Oh, I didn't address that thing yesterday and I went to sleep with it. So I woke up anxious. It was in my dream time. I need to address this conflict that didn't get resolved yesterday. I need to have a conversation today because I don't want to keep feeling this and avoiding this unresolved issue with this person, as an example.
Yeah. That's a great answer because it resonates so hard with me. I wanted to bring up, I know you do a lot of other practices too. You just mentioned how you did some rounds of hot and cold, you know, when you saw our sauna and everything. And there's so much of that nowadays with biohacking and all these tools like the higher dose mat or whatever. And the important part is that it's within us. And that's, I love that you focus on breath work, because one of my main goals with this show too is that we have so much within us. You don't need all those things. And so when you see, I know, you know, there's not that there's not value. There is. But I was wondering if you could just, that, like what you just said really is about checking in with yourself. Like just it's all right here, and the power of breath. Like, we've been doing it since you were like a minute old. So, you know,
I think that when we forget to play, we forget to go out in nature and be barefoot. We forget to just invite friends over, not for a brainstorming session or, you know, like for business, but just for laughs and for play. And I think this is a medicine that we starve ourselves of, and it's nobody else's fault. It's just like, okay, if I check in, gosh, I've been so serious lately, or I've been working this many days a week. And so what do I need? It might be play. And I think one of the things around these different biohacking options is that when we have navigated off true north and our physical body has paid the price, that there are wonderful tools to help balance out extreme deprivation in our body or extreme toxicity in our body. And it may be absolutely a form of self-care that says, yeah, I'm going to get in the sauna today because I want to sweat out some toxins from, let's just call it precarious consumption.
Yeah.
Do you know, or I care enough to take a walk today because I want to hyperoxygenate my organs and blood. I care about myself. So I think the biohacking techniques are coming here to help us offset a go, 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 do, do, do lifestyle or taking in a little, you know, substances in excess that have caused a strain on our organs and our body, my liver, my gosh. And so I think that those are a way of self-care, if that is coming from a place of, I care enough to do this. I care enough to move my body. I care enough to take a nap. I care enough to take supplements and choose great things. And I think we're moving in this direction where self-care isn't judged as selfish, but it's acknowledged as necessary. And that it's not something we can outsource to somebody else. Oh, my partner needs to take care of me, or my parents need to take care of me. It's like, no, you're grown up.
Yeah.
And like learning, because I don't think it was modeled or practiced so much, is learning how does self-care look like to me? Because, you know, we might wake and answer that question this morning two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow we might answer the same way. And the next day we may answer differently again. And so this is why it's an inside question.
I love that. I love bringing it back to this is rooted in self-love and rooted in I care about myself. Like that's so fundamental. And then we don't have to get fancy with it. You don't have to have the mat. You don't have like it's yeah. It can be as simple as the remembrance of nature, of play, of breath.
Yeah. And water. I mean, I just realized that, gosh, you know, I have been unconsciously dehydrating myself. I'm like, oh, okay. I need to drink more water today. Just in that, how am I doing? How am I feeling? And
same. I did it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Oh, that's dehydrated. Not, that's unusual for me. Yeah.
And we don't have to bully ourselves for it. It's just awareness. It's like, okay, I have been tracking my sleep, not an obsessive way, but also knowing that I feel better when I have 7+ hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just an accountability to track that so that I can say, you know, if I'm tired or sluggish, it's highly likely that it's sleep, food, and water.
Yeah.
Or an unresolved issue that is not allowing me to sleep well. And so let me just take a moment to check in. And I think we're moving towards a lot more self-care. And one of the things that I teach a lot and coach a lot is about self-care, as well as learning how to have clear boundaries with other people's energy, other people's stuff, other people's needs, and also being accountable for my stuff and my energy and my needs. That's the best gift I can give to you is if I take care of what's on my side of the fence. You know, so
just going to let that land for a second. Because yes, I completely agree. That is, and it's such a paradox because we think we need to do it out externally in so many ways or put it out there, or instead of me caring for this and truly being accountable and taking, you know, extreme responsibility for X, then that is actually serving you.
Right.
And our relationship.
I think, you know, a lot of the challenges that I find in relationships with clients is where the boundaries are not clear. They're super muddy.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is, I need to fix you. You need to change this. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that a lot of times, first of all, it's unsolicited. And so the person really isn't on board with somebody deciding that I'm your coach now. And it's just like, no, you're my sister or you're my partner. You're not mm-hmm. my coach. Mm-hmm. And so out of care, I think we cross boundaries all the time.
Yeah.
Trying to fix somebody, try to shake them up, wake them up, pull them into places which would make us feel more comfortable about where their choices are. And that's really what can I need to process about how I feel about somebody else's choices, whether that's around addiction or whether that is around staying in an unhealthy relationship, because respecting that they'll make the change if and when they want, and that I need to process my feeling, how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. I'm angry, I'm disappointed, I'm sad. That's on my side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And if I process that instead of letting that drive the reasoning to control and manipulate somebody else's life, let's see, without consent
mm-hmm.
and usually without positive impact, because they're the only ones that can change their life. If they do or don't, it's not up to me, no matter how much I care about somebody.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of self-control to be on the sidelines of somebody's life, caring and also allowing and listening and trusting. And also processing your own feelings about how we feel when somebody makes a choice that is destructive or mm-hmm. chaotic, and pulling back and recognizing they're in a classroom of their own creation. I'm not supposed to give them the answer. I'm not supposed to intervene, because then they don't actually learn what they're in the classroom to learn.
Yeah. I've been in Al-Anon for years. And so, and it's wonderful. I highly recommend it to anyone, but it's a lot about what you were just saying.
Yeah.
It's growing into that space of like, that's life and understanding those boundaries, yeah, which is a beautiful thing. You've had a lot of students over the years, and I'm wondering if you've experienced some that perhaps didn't serve you or were toxic in some way. I don't know if we want to label it that, and how you addressed those or maybe extricated yourself, or have you had those unhealthy relationships come up now in life? How do you recognize them and then find that space to maybe not have those as a part of your life?
Yeah. I think to me, there's a difference between clients and students, and clients mm-hmm. are like seekers that are coming for transformation, for healing, for empowerment, for learning and growth.
I think that's why I brought up students, because it seemed like a closer relationship.
Well, and I have relationships with students as well that come mm-hmm. and train with me mm-hmm. specifically. You know, and people that come to me as clients, I'm here to support their personal development and growth. And a subset of that are those that are called to the healing arts, mm-hmm. those that are light workers, that are healers, that are teachers, that want support learning different modalities. So I do a 14-day shamangelic healing modalities and breathwork facilitator training. That's not your typical seeker.
Right.
That's not your typical client. There is a subset of that that says, hey, I've been doing enough of my personal development work that I'm now ready to turn around and support others with that. Mm-hmm. And I have, over the years, learned I need an application process for that, because just because somebody says they're ready doesn't mean they meet my expectations for ready.
Yes.
And so that's why I have an application process or an interview Smart. Process that says, because I've had that situation before where somebody's actually really deeply entrenched in their own trauma and just trying to bypass and say, I'm going to save everybody else, but is still so deeply entrenched their victim, mm-hmm. in their trauma. They're not yet able to take ownership or accountability. And if they're going to be a student, they have to be a certain, they have to have gone along the journey to a certain point to be able to take accountability, to take feedback, to also trust their gifts and self-regulate and learn and know how to do those kinds of things. And because then I can take somebody in that space and we can go really far.
Yeah.
And, you know, the students that come and train with me, how far we can get in those 2 weeks, it's extraordinary. It's absolutely miraculous. And I love working with people that are ready to do that. And then I open up my medicine bag and they're hungry and ready and they're willing to learn and change and shift and process their own insecurities during the process. I'm here to support and help, but there's a certain level of emotional maturity and personal development and growth that makes them very teachable, and they accelerate and grow really fast. And others are really just more clients.
Yeah.
And some I've said, hey, let's start here. Work on these things, mm-hmm. work on these things, and let's touch base in a year. And I've had absolutely people that have done the work, some of them you know, mm-hmm. That have really, like, were struggling initially, did the work, really accelerated, made so much transformational healing and progress where it's like, okay, I think they're ready to actually move into this level mm-hmm. of training to be able to.
Has anybody ever gotten mad about that?
Oh, sure. But, you know, this is one of the things about the shamanic guide is that, like, I'm going to go into the shadow and I know that that's going to trigger some people. And I have to have really clear boundaries of this isn't about me. This is about whatever their projection is.
Yeah.
And that's why it's my responsibility to be honest and in integrity, because I'm not going to lower or adjust my integrity or my standards for a tantrum. I'm not interested.
Well, I mean, it's ego-based mostly too. And I think that there's a lot of dropping ego when you're doing the breath work and you're doing all these things, at least for me.
Yeah. And I think that there is a drive, a desire to help people through transformation and healing that is not ego-based. It's soul-based. Mm. It's heart-based.
Yeah, I love that.
I can't teach that kind of caring. But, and some are like, well, I just want a label. I want the certificate. And I hear that, but I also will only go as far as I believe that they're ready, because it's out of integrity for me to take somebody beyond where I think they're ready, mm-hmm. because they won't be able to hold that energy yet. They may be able to hold that in the future. So I leave that door open. And there's others where it's just, there isn't enough groundedness, you know? So I had a one student where they were just not in their body enough. And I'm like, if you can't be on time, if you can't take care of yourself, if you're tired, if you're sleepy, if you're stoned, this is all, you know, if you're hungover, I hear that, I totally get that. That's a client. That's not somebody for me to work with me that has enough embodied integrity to hold space for somebody else yet.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of other teachers out there that will take you and teach you. Great. Go with them. It's not going to be me because I really have a high bar of standard around do no harm. Mm. And that means you have to be a certain level of in your body to be aware of your energy and where you're placing your hands and a certain level of groundedness to be able to use tools to move into somebody's very intimate space. And if you don't have enough embodiment, you will absolutely cause more harm.
You have to do no harm to yourself first.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, seems like.
Yeah.
It starts right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And so that, I mean, I'll, you know, invite, hey, if you can this, this, and this for this many months, then let's check in there.
Yeah.
Because I want to be really able to serve somebody if this is what their calling is. And if this is in the way, I'm going to hold space for that until they need or want or are ready to shift that. And I say, hey, when you're here, like, let's go.
Yeah.
And like, here's your homework.
That's just your experience and like really your knowledge coming into play.
Well, there's a lot of different in this industry. There's a lot of different facilitators and teachers that it's like, oh, I learned this thing online and now I'm a master at it. And, you know, I have such deep reverence and respect for someone's safety and for the trust that they're conveying in a practitioner to hold space for them with integrity, skill, and efficiency and tenderness and professionalism. And so, I don't just do a one-day training online. That wouldn't allow somebody to really practice and receive a deep understanding of what's happening in the intimate space of somebody's energy field.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say someone's listening to this and they're like, this sounds awesome. I'm interested. I wish there was something I could do right now that could get me more tuned in. What would you tell them?
I think if you are really on your journey of healing and awakening, like if you are on your journey, then trust your intuition to help you find the book, the course, the retreat, the workshop. Like, trust that it's a different formula for each of us of what things are going to be the most helpful. There's different workshops. There was different trainings that I went to, different retreats and books that trust your intuition to guide you and start dabbling in those things, and they'll start opening up other doors. Of course, we have Shine Sedona, where people can come and put their toe in the water or jump all the way in with different workshops and retreats and one-on-one experiences or going out on the land. And there are many places like that. And it can just be a book that you start with. It can just be a podcast. It can just be, okay, I'm going to do this one day thing.
Yeah.
Or I really feel called to go on this retreat. So if you are a seeker looking for tools, trust your intuition. And if you're still listening, then you're our people.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
And we're here to support you.
That struck me too at the very beginning when you were talking about someone said, hey, try this. And you did. That is a habit in itself to say yes when, or just explore, consider it an experiment. That's a big thing for me. Just experiment with it. But that's what you did. You know, it's cultivating that habit of like recognizing something coming my way, you know, even me in your breath work, like I had to cultivate that habit. Like, oh, this is the message, you know, me thinking I'm not doing it right. That is the message.
That's right.
It's not like, oh, I need to learn to scream like that person, you know? And so I think that there's like a whole habit in there that we can build.
It's this feminine and masculine balance of the feminine side, which is the left side of our body, listening and feeling. So if you get a feeling, if you get a call, if you get that intuition, then we pass it over to the masculine that says, oh shit, I'm going to take action on this now. I'm going to buy that book. I'm going to sign up for that course. I'm going to go to that retreat. And following your intuition. And the same goes with, even if everybody's saying, hey, this thing is the best ever, it might not be for you. Just because everybody's saying, hey, this is the best, filter it through. Does this feel right for me right now? Because it might not be the best ever. It's, that's back to the listening. Does this feel right? And then if it's, this doesn't, then use your masculine to say no. That says, okay, this breathwork thing, it might be a hell yes. It might be, I don't think this is right. And so listen to that intuition, whether it's a plant medicine ceremony, whether it is a workshop that everybody's raving about, check in and listen, because we're all quite capable of feeling and intuiting and listening.
Yeah.
We're just practicing that muscle of trusting that and acting upon it, whether it's a yes or no, and not just following the masses or ignoring our intuition. Because we have an internal GPS installed. We're just getting better at listening and honoring. Mm-hmm. And so when I do a lot of coaching around betrayal, for example, I'll ask, hey, when was the first time you felt a red flag or your intuition said, it would be like when we started dating.
Every time.
I knew something didn't feel right with this boss. I knew something didn't feel quite right with this ceremony or this healer or this shaman or whatever.
You knew.
And it's like, that is sometimes the greatest lesson. So I would say to anybody listening that or watching, trust that your intuition is guiding you and to get practice listening. And then when it tells you, hey, go do a thing or try a thing, go for it. And see what happens. And then for those of you that are light workers or closet light workers, you know, that are kind of on the fence, like, I think I have gifts, but I'm embarrassed, or that couldn't be me. And that, if you have this calling inside, back to listening again, that you really want to, and you have this deep desire to support people's healing and transformational journey, and you want to learn more tools at a deep level, not at a surface level, at a deep level. And if you're still listening and watching, then I invite you to explore seeing if it feels right, the 14-day immersion.
Love it.
You can learn shamanic wisdom teachings and understand about trauma and chakras and addiction and depression and potential and power and intuition and how those map in the body and how to unravel things, how to reinstall new tools and resources to help people find their light and their mission again. And for some of you, that's lighting you up. Well, listen to that. If you're like, oh my God, this is making me nervous. This is making me excited. I want to try the thing of like, even if you just start going and exploring, whether it's this training or something else, if you're a light worker and you're really called to do this kind of work, trust that you'll find the right teacher, you'll find the right offering to help you with the tools you need to do your best life's work.
What are you learning right now that's surprising you?
I think it's back to play again. I'm like back to play again, and how like fabulous that medicine is, that is just, let's play charades, you know?
Yeah.
Let's paint.
Yes.
Like just how, what great medicine that is. And let's goof off. Let's be silly. Let's play dress up. Let's go dancing. And so I'm back in a cycle of around my second chakra, around inner child and creativity and playfulness. And so,
what a great place to be.
Yeah. Sometimes that's meditation. Sometimes it's self-care. Sometimes it's like a different tool or a different modality or marketing strategy or whatever. And what is lighting me up right now is silly, playful fun.
I love that. Good.
It's important. It's an important, like all of the colors of the rainbow and all of the chakras in the body. It's important that we tune each one of these at different times.
Yeah. And I just also feel like, as a woman in her 50s, you know, that like really just embracing those moments and just learning to just have a good time. Just fucking, if I can just relax, yeah. everything just is better.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's part of play. Like, really, the essence is just like relax and have fun.
Can I just have some fun?
Yes. Yes. Right.
There's a time for that. There's a time for like, all right, let's birth something. There's a time for let's heal, let's rest, let's replenish. And there's a time for taking action and getting shit done. Mm-hmm. And just know there's different seasons for different things. And,
yeah.
and that, you know, as we just shift into a new cycle here in spring, is just to honor that there's different seasons for different reasons.
Big time. Yes. All right. Well, I would like to turn it over to you now. Is there anything that we missed or anything that you really wanted to touch on before we went today, or anything that you want to just reiterate?
Thank you.
That's on your, in your heart brain.
I think, first of all, one of the things that came in a couple years ago when the vision to open Shine in Sedona, it was this deep soul calling, and it was in the middle of COVID. Hey, open a brick and mortar. Spirit's like, open a brick and mortar. I'm like, F off. You can just go.
That's a terrible
idea. Yeah, like, I don't think so. Like, people are melting down. Businesses are shutting down. And people aren't hugging. And I'm like, I'm a hugger. And so, like,
yeah.
And breather on top of that.
Right, right. I'm just breathing out into the air.
And it just kept nagging at me. And so if you're still listening, I just want to acknowledge what has been knocking on the door, whether that's to write a book or have a baby or start a business or a nonprofit or whatever it is, there is a soul calling. There is a reason that this insight, this inspiration was given to you, is because you have the fertile soil to birth it. And as much as I was resisting, like, oh, there's all these, I don't have all these excuses. I don't have the money. I don't know how. I haven't done this before. This is bad timing and all of this. And every excuse was either fear, doubt, or lack driven. Mm. Every single one. And in meditation with it is like, you don't get to say no from those excuses, fear, doubt, or lack. We'll take care of those things. And it was a real deep practice in trust. So I'm just inviting you to trust that if there is an inspiration, a feeling, an idea, a path, and an inner knowing that this other thing isn't it anymore, whether that's relationship, career, or a certain habit, way of being that isn't quite in alignment, you're right. And if there's an inspiration, you're also right. And to trust that, and that's one of the missions behind Shine, which is now birthed into a 3D reality where people can come.
Super gorgeous. I encourage anyone to go to shinesedona.com, and it looks amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you. There's these 14-foot golden wings on the wall, because really it's just a reminder to all of us to rise and shine and like wake out of the slumber. Mm-hmm. You'll find your people. You'll find what you need to nourish your soil and your roots. Find your community, reach out for help.
And find your shine.
Let's go. Let's go. Like rise and shine. And so that's our mission, is to inspire millions to shine, whether you're in a super dark place and you just need some light, whether you're like on your journey and you need more tools, or you're just like, okay, I am here as a light worker to serve, and you really want resources to help take your healing practice or your service or whatever your mission is to the next level, got you covered.
And I think that's so poignant that you had to lean into that surrender, that it didn't just come right easy. It was during COVID. It was all these things and breath work during COVID. And it was just so funny. But like, I think that's really poignant that what you've built is an example, a shining example of exactly what you want to inspire in others, or what we can recognize within ourselves.
And that's the trust and
that's
faith.
That's the trust.
You leap and your wings will appear. And that's like, there is greatness inside you, and this is the time. Mm-hmm. So I would say, let's go for it.
Yes.
And it's not like once you step into your soul mission or soul path that everything gets completely easy. Birthing this in these times of physical 3D brick and mortar with payroll and taxes and workers comp, like it's stretching me into the 3D, and to stay connected to the 5D, and like my wingspan keeps expanding. I'm stretched and challenged every day. It's humbling. I have to keep choosing faith every day. Some days I'm great. Some days I'm out of balance, and just to continue to choose grace and what am I learning? What can I refine? Let me get back up and try it again. Do I need to ask for help? Do I need to ask for support? What can I do to serve this mission that's bigger than me?
Yeah.
And so I'm saying the same thing to you and to all of you listening. What can you do? What steps can you take to serve this mission that is bigger than you? Because it's not just about you. And so your fear is, you know, and doubt and lack, it's cute and it's clever and it's really unnecessary because we need your gifts, whatever they are. And each of us has such different gifts. We need that woven together. So
I
let's
go. That pep talk. I don't know about you. I needed that pep talk.
Let's go. So
I mean, those words always like help me keep going and stay in the bigger picture rather than this retraction, you know, into me, whatever, you know, it's so much bigger. And that's such a beautiful space to live in. We don't know. We don't know. So, we were just talking about that with Justin downstairs, yeah, about something he's got going on. And like, we don't know the repercussions of that 10 years down the road or whatever it might be. Like, it's so cool.
And to just be unattached to, oh, well, I thought it was going to be like this. And just to trust that just you stepping forward starts changing, yeah, the trajectory of your life. It's who you're becoming along the journey, whether you reach the summit or not, or whether there's another summit for you.
Maybe there's no summit.
Exactly. And it's the journey along the way.
Yeah.
And there has been so much growth and transformation, yeah, in this last year and so many lessons. And
I mean, sometimes I think if you're striving for the summit, you miss the view that's right in front of you.
Exactly. And there's views, all these great views along the way. Yeah. And the connections, the people, the impact, the transformation, the healing. Like, I'm in tears often daily at Shine, from the joy that I get to see from watching a family, you know, preparing their womb for birth and then meeting the baby.
Wow.
You know, yeah, a year later, and watching people that are navigating a diagnosis and, you know, the grace that's coming from their journey and the joy. They're like, I've lived more life in this last 18 months than I have in the last 20 years. And so,
wow, it's so powerful. Yes.
Love, love, love doing that. So yes, you can find me at shinesedona.com. If you want to work with me individually, the staff there will totally book in a private retreat with me, or we've got a women's retreat coming up.
Oh,
we've
cool. When is retreat. That?
There's a women's retreat April, awesome, 11th through the 14th.
Okay.
And there's a men's retreat the 9th, I think, through the 13th in May. And the training I facilitate twice a year, July and February. And there's so many opportunities to just come and experience or bring a group. Rent the facility out for multiple days, or I'll come and lead private breath work for a group of yours, or whatever it is. Like, we're here to tailor magical journeys. So I'm just excited to continue the process and providing connection and impact. Plus, there's a fabulous boutique. You've got
to come. I saw it. Do you know what? When I looked at your website, I was poking around a little bit and it said boutique. And I was like, click.
Hello.
That was like the first. I was like, let me just see that really quick. It looks amazing.
Right. So. I love procuring all of these fabulous creations. So
I used to own a boutique and I get it. And, you know, I get what work that is too. But it's so fun.
But I'm having so much fun.
It's
being
so fun.
The personal shopper for beautiful shamanic items and medicine bags and necklaces and crystals.
People used to say to me, how do you not buy everything in here? And I was like,
so hard.
I literally already did.
Yeah, I have that. I have that.
But I mean, you bought it for the store. You bought it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I felt satisfied. So, but yes, it is. It's gorgeous. And I cannot wait to experience it again. And I just am so grateful for all that you shared today. This was beautiful. So beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And, you know, I really just want to acknowledge you, as a mother, as a partner, leader in this community, everything that you're doing, the time you're taking out of your day to make space in your home to record messages like this so that the people listening and watching can receive something for free. So If you are listening and watching, make sure you five-star this this podcast.
Thank you.
And do a favor. One way that you can say thank you to Amy is by sharing this podcast with three other people. If you enjoyed this conversation, then you're probably not alone in somebody that might benefit from this. So please say thank you. The best way you can say thank you is with a review and to share it so that this message in your time reaches more people, because that's really why you're doing this. So thank you.
It sure is. Wow. I received that. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you. What a gift.
And we'll see you in Sedona soon.
Yes, you certainly will. And thank you for just for saying that. That was really beautiful. This is my gift. This is how I use my breath. And sometimes I have to remind myself, I'm like, oh, maybe I should go do her training. And, you know, and then I'm like, lay back into your gift. This is it. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Relax. Yeah. And so, yeah. So thank you for recognizing that and saying that. It's humbling and it feels really good. And now I was going to do an outro and she did it for me essentially. So thank you.
Well, this is how we say thank you.
It is. It really is. Thank you. And I mean, that is my goal, to be able to continue to put this out for free for everyone, to have these resources to people like you that have these incredible backgrounds and knowledge and voices and abilities to help others and teach them their own tools and facilitate. Anyway, so incredible. I'm so grateful to have met you and been able to experience this firsthand and speak to it. And you were my first breath work. Mm-hmm. So that is forever etched in my heart brain. So yes, thank you so much. So everybody, please go check out Shine Sedona. Everything's in the show notes. Follow Anahata. Anything you need is right there. And she's been upping her social media presence as well. So there's a lot on there that you can access to. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you to you. Thank you to you. And if you do share it with three people, oh my gosh, thank you from the bottom of my heart, and leaving reviews, because I have been working to build those up. So thank you so much. And I just love you. And, you know, just again, cultivate that practice of recognizing when something comes your way, and maybe that's your opportunity. Maybe that's the divine. Maybe that's the angelic divinity saying, hey, what about this? What about this? What about your true calling? What about that knock on the door that you could possibly answer? So anyway, I'm just so grateful that you're here and grateful for these conversations. So thank you to you. Thank you to you. Till next time. Beautiful.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.